It's about people. It's about community. It's about the amazing capacity of the human spirit. And most of all, it's about art and volunteerism. Early on, her natural gifts often caught the attention of her teachers. One influential teacher, Mrs. Moser, pushed this eager artist to explore subject and medium. Who knew a repurposed open door, sanded and smoothed, would become the palette for her art design process, using wood stains, for example? This is Lehigh Valley Art Salon, WDIY 88.1 Allentown. I remain George Miller, and along with my wife and co-host, Kate Scuffle, we chat today with D. Nina Cruz, creator and artist of the presently exhibited The New Black, Volunteerism, showing at ArtQuest's Steel Stacks. But how does volunteerism and art blend equally in the, and I quote, attic inside her head, close quote? Let's find out. Welcome, Nina. Thank you for being with us today.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
We were particularly delighted because it is such an interesting mix. You know, the exhibit itself would be fascinating in its own right as a portrait show, but with the added level of layer of mission and this kind of passion. Could you talk a little bit about that marriage of art and passion here?
Well, I guess it's sort of both sides of who I am, two parts of who I am. I do volunteer and have for about 28 years now, doing all kinds of things. I don't limit it. And also being an artist. So during the process of actually volunteering and seeing volunteers experience the most amazing joy and philanthropy and all kinds of wonderful benefits, and then the art side of seeing them visually captured in some sort of art medium, it just sort of married to me. So it happened while I was actually out volunteering that I began to see this in my mind's eye.
And so the show, in a sense, is capturing, you had said earlier when we were talking, it's not just portraits or celebrations of the individuals in the portraits. It's a celebration of that marriage of volunteerism and what it's done for them and what it is as a life changer.
Precisely. Yeah. As wonderful as these 14 volunteers are who gave themselves up to me to prod into their lives by interviewing them and capturing them by photo and then translating them into paintings, they are all wonderful people. But, and I volunteer with many of them side by side. So I do work with them side by side, many of them. But it's definitely celebrating volunteerism as a whole and more so focused on the benefits to the volunteer. We very often know the benefits that organizations receive, or we just put it in a small box that it's just good to do. But this show actually is highlighting the benefits, the things you never thought of before, really turning it over on its head and saying, what are the other benefits that are not talked about, that are not known commonly to the volunteer that you get on your own by volunteering? And so this exhibition explores that.
And how did it, what was the seed of what, in that desire to share that that vision of volunteerism too, or to entice people, why these panels, why this technique, why these people? I'm just fascinated with how it all came about, how it developed.
Yeah, definitely a process. It wasn't overnight. I had first started to get this thing in my head maybe about the end of 2014, if I recall correctly, and it just kept bothering me as I was volunteering and seeing these things in my head. And so I sort of did just that, asking myself the questions of what does this mean to me? What can I do with this? Should I do anything? And so I did a pitch to ArtQuest at the time, Deborah Miller, who's no longer with them. I met her and told her just a little bit because it began to grow after I spoke to her. And she has since moved on, just a wonderful woman and who sort of listened to my beginning ideas. And I did some testing. I thought it would be in watercolor and I tried that first. So I did a lot of testing. I did photographs of the volunteers with them doing their task but not looking at the camera. And as I started my first test, I realized that that wasn't going to work, that they had to actually be looking at the viewer. So that had to change. I did the watercolor test and found that I'm so comfortable with watercolor that I would stay there and just do way too much detail. So I decided, well, I'm going to need to work with a medium maybe that's going to challenge me more in other areas, and it'll make me not do so much detail because I'm so trying to gather myself in other areas with the medium. And having done this door that I did for Habitat for a fundraiser and transported it into and remade it into a table, I tested this idea of water, water-based stains, but then using oil-based stains. And that worked so well that when it came time to do this project a short time later, and I challenged not using watercolor, the light bulb went off. And I thought, maybe can I get it to work in doing actual likenesses of people? And that's how it started.
I'm amazed that the stain actually obeyed. You were able to control it.
Yes, that was I did. That was the first question, because I've worked with wood stain all of my life. I was always in my father's garage tinkering. Mm. You know, I never in the kitchen following my mother. Always following my father after his tools and trying to, you know, get every possible bit of education from my dad. He was wonderful. Never shooed me away. Always constantly asking him tons of questions. He had a lathe which I used to salivate over, and he barely used it, but we both I think salivated over it, and constantly messing with stains and lacquer and polyurethane and all of that. So I've worked with those kinds of things before. But you're right, as an actual painting medium with shading and spreading and having the wood not soak it up, and we all, if you've worked with it before, you know that it travels. If you've, you know, it just like travels on the, like down the wood grain. So I had to develop a technique and I had to test it. So that table that I did and that auctioned off at Habitat's fundraiser, the Toast of Hope in 2015, that was the first test. I actually did two tests on that table. Underneath it, if you turn that table over, there's an underneath image of a cactus, and on top there's a bloom. So that, which actually came from the cactus. So I did that first and learned some things. That was a fir, and these are maple panels. So I've learned thus far that different woods will offer different absorbencies and how it'll take the stain. And so it was a learning curve, but you can get it to obey. I've went online to see if anyone was doing this and found very few people, and definitely not doing it as detailed as I did. And they worked with rags, but I actually worked with small brushes, which allowed me to control it a little more.
For the listener who hasn't seen the show yet, and you need to see the show, when I first saw them, at first glance, it almost felt like I was looking at wood inlay, you know, until I got up close, and then what's kind of gorgeous about it. And then there's a sepia tone. It's not really sepia, but there's a limited range of variations of the colors. But then there's the grain coming through, and it's just unlike anything else I've ever seen. It's just beautiful.
I'm glad that's coming from you, because I try to tell people, you've never seen anything like this. And not so much the work. I mean, I'm happy that people enjoy the work and can appreciate the work that I've put into the paintings. Certainly, I'm very passionate about the message, so I want people to take that away more so than the work.
Sure.
But I am proud of the work, and I did work hard on it. But inlay, that's interesting you should say that. But I wanted them to be monochromatic. So they are, let's face it, wood stain, if it's an oil wood stain, there's limited limitations in how many colors you can use. Your palette is limited. I used three different wood stains for each and every likeness. I used a very light color base to start with, something more vibrant that would take it most of it home, and then a very darker stain that I used. I usually use like either one called Espresso and another one called Jacobine. And so those are the two darks that I use throughout all of them. One of them is used Espresso, then next I use Jacobine, the next one, because I didn't want it to all look the same. So a lot of testing.
And it's striking to me, you mentioned that watercolor might have left you going down that tunnel of spending lots of time in detail. What jumps out at me about the portraits is really like, and that they, your first photographs, they weren't looking at the camera. That's so interesting, because what really jumps out to me about the portraits is that they're looking at me. There's this intense kind of connection to them that's just, and it's lovely.
Yes. When I did my first test, I did it with a volunteer. His name is Bob, and he volunteers. He's part of the core volunteer group at the Lehigh Valley's Habitat for Humanity. And so I started with him, and I worked side by side with him, had many laughs. Camaraderie is one of the big benefits of volunteering. And so I remember he was doing something funny, and I'd taken this he was actually laughing at something, a joke that I had made. And so I took this picture, and as I was doing this test and painting him, he exuded so much joy, but he wasn't looking at me. But I felt the joy because I was there in the experience, so I knew what we were laughing at. But when I stepped back from the painting, this test that I was doing, I realized that the viewer wasn't present. I was feeling the joy because I knew what we were talking about. But I had to get out of myself and imagine myself as the viewer seeing it for the first time. And that's what I thought, I'm going to have to redo some of these, because if you're seeing someone for the first time, they need to be looking at you, especially if right beside them is a bio that's encouraging you.
And is that not true not only in the process of the art that you create, but also in the process of volunteerism? It's the same thing. You step back and you say to yourself, you know, what is this doing for me? What am I doing for it?
Precisely. I think there are great similarities, very they're parallel, I think, a lot of parallel and similarities in that. And so I think this goes well together. When you volunteer, I've talked to a lot of volunteers, people who want to volunteer and people who do. It's a process. It's very personal. You have to decide what's best for you, when, what you're going to do. And there's a lot of fears involved of, you know, do I have what it takes to do this? Do I have the time? Do I have the resources? Should I do it? Whom should I partner with to do this? But you do. You have to step back and ask yourself those questions so that when you're volunteering, it will mean something to whom is receiving the help, but it will also mean something to you because that's going to keep you coming back.
How does Nina the volunteer and Nina the artist get along with each other when choosing your prime suspects for a painting?
There was some difficulty, you know. I wanted to include everyone, and of course I took many, many different photographs, and we only had limited room for the show, so I could only choose 14, and that was a stretch in itself. They are 2 foot by 3 foot, so they are rather large. Mm-hmm. So I really had to step back. I mean, I put them all sort of on the counter there and started switching them around like you would little cards or little thumbnails, and the wood stain, you know, the size, the color, as well as the pose of each one of them, that's what was the ultimate choice for me. I wanted a good range of experience. We have very young people in the show. We have those who are retirees and seasoned people who volunteer in the show. We have people from the Lehigh Valley, New Jersey side and the PA side. We have different organizations. We have America's Grow a Row volunteers on there. We have Southridge Community Church volunteers on there, as well as the Habitat volunteers. So they all don't come just for one place. But the pose was really, so I had to sort of test that and keep moving them around. Mm-hmm. And I had to make all of my photos black and white so that I could treat everybody the same visually. And so I worked from black and white photos, yeah. Huh.
If you would you please just share with us working with, for example, one of the volunteers whose name is Tara. Uh-huh. And you told us a little story about her, and I was very intrigued.
Yes, Tara is an amazing, they're also just so amazing. I'm flabbergasted when I think of their bios and I read their bios, and I never get tired of reading them. Tara, when she was a student, she's a working adult woman now, but when she was a student, she had a heart to give. She wanted to do something. But she says, even in her own bio, I was broke. You know, I was like, you know, going to school, I didn't know what to do. So I decided that I wanted to give. And but I couldn't give monetarily. But I have the great blessing of my hair grows really quickly. So she decided to donate her hair. And since then, she's donated her hair to different organizations 6 times already.
Oh, my.
And so it shows you that volunteerism, you give what's available to you. And it doesn't always have to be the way everybody else does it, which is that stepping back that you mentioned, mm-hmm. George. Just step back and what can I do? What's up my alley? What are my talents? And she's just amazing. And she goes to, right now, she works full-time and goes to school full-time, and she still volunteers and growing that hair.
We'll be taking a break in a few moments, so I don't want to get started down that road, but I'd like to talk a little bit more about your journey into volunteerism and some of the chat we were having before the show about what it does give back to people. I was so struck by your thought that people think of volunteerism as being all for the organization or the recipient, but that it's really all, there's so many gifts and joys that go to the volunteer, and how you've highlighted that with the bios, with the paintings, which I think is fascinating.
Yes, I think it's very apparent not only in your work, but in the work that you're doing in art, but also in volunteerism, that your passion for both of these things is so great that you are making everything move very quickly all around you.
I was going to say, folks, before we take that break, your website, cruisecreate.com.
Yes.
I would suggest it to folks not only for the images and more of Nina's background, her story, her work, her accomplishments, but what was fascinating to me was the links and the material on quotes, connections, articles, studies on the benefits of volunteerism, on the possibilities of volunteerism.
Yes. Before we go to our break, I just want to encourage you to go to that website, cruisecreate.com. Mm-hmm. Just click on the show button, and I built it to have tons of resources because it is about volunteerism as much as it is about the art. So
well,
do explore that.
Yes, great. We've learned a lot right now, but really, this intrigues me as well, that napkins usually fall prey to inspirational ideas when there isn't a sketchbook to be had anywhere. Nina will share more of her ideas and her ideals when we return after this salient message.
for program support on WDIY. We thank the Baum School of Art, 510 Linden Street, Allentown, enriching lives through arts education for the past 90 years. Classes in art, design, and fashion for children, teens, and adults. For more information, baumschool.org or 610-433-0032.
This is WDIY 88.1 Allentown, Lehigh Valley Art Salon, and we're chatting with Nina Cruz, the creator and artist of the presently exhibited The New Black, Volunteerism. It's doing now at Arts Quest, Steel Stacks.
14 works in the Creativity Commons as well as the Butts Gallery. And I see that when I was looking online, I see that some of the volunteers that you've worked with have actually joined and gathered at the exhibition. You particularly worked with what, Habitat and Grow a Row?
Yes, and Southrose Community Church.
Yeah. Okay.
They partnered with me. I needed volunteers, let's face it. So I thought that I would try to do things a little easier for myself because I had to tackle all of these paintings. And I thought, who can I partner with? Who can give me access to volunteers? So I approached these three organizations and asked them. I told them about my mission and this idea that I had that was in my head, and asked them if it was okay to approach some of their volunteers to see if they wanted to be part of this. And they all were amazingly supportive, and they said yes. And so I then, you know, went into the fields, as so to speak, and spoke to several of the volunteers. And just about everybody said that they would allow themselves to be photographed, to be used for the show, to be interviewed. And I started in 2015 with that. And it worked out really great. They were very supportive.
Again, the interviews, you know, we tend to think of, again, it's a visual exhibition. I'm going to see the visual work, whether it be a painting or a photograph. When I was reading the bios, and I thought, oh, bios, it'll be bios of the volunteers. I know what that's about. And I was just gobsmacked at how eye-opening it was to me and how it kind of turned my head around about my perception of volunteerism. What Nina's done is broken out the bios, not just to share the info about the subject, but their experience volunteering, the blessings they've taken away from it, what they would suggest to any of us.
Yes. It starts off, they're really small snippets if you think about it and you're there. It's just on a small sheet of paper, not a huge poster, beside each of the work. So it's narratives next to these visuals. And it starts off with just a line or two of when they started, how they started, why they do it. And then it moves into the hidden blessings that they never thought that they would get out of it. And then it finishes off with a word of encouragement. And that's one of my passions. That's what helped me continue to paint these. It was a long process. But as I kept thinking about, no one ever told me, and I don't think anyone can tell you, as much as I try to turn volunteerism on its head to really expose the blessings, the hidden blessings of volunteerism through the information that's on the website, plethora of information there, as well as experiencing the show firsthand, you really have to sort of do it yourself. So I know that. So what the show is trying to do through these bios is challenge you to consider that maybe there is more for you to learn, to consider that volunteerism may have for you. Mm-hmm. I thought that volunteerism needed me, and it really turns out that it's the other way around. I need volunteerism. Oh. And I think that our societies and our communities really need to start thinking of it that way, because that's what parallels us and brings us together. Mm. Our similarity, I think we're more similar than we are different. And so I ask people, what is it that bothers you? Because if they don't know where to start, that's where how I said, what is it that bothers you? If you are in your car and you're normally traveling on the road and in local streets, are there children, you know, getting off the bus who are unruly and you feel that there should be someone helping with that? Volunteer to be a crossing guard. If you are bothered and you feel that the elderly are the forgotten, go into a nursing home, present yourself, read to them. Who doesn't get visitors? You know, ask if you can help in that way. Ask yourself what bothers you. You're here for a reason, and it's to bring solutions to those things that bother you. That's one of the ways you can look at it. If that's not the way to go, then what's your passion? What do you want to help at? You know, I think volunteerism is a great way to supplement if you don't feel underutilized at work or in other areas of your life. It's a great way. If you're really young and just starting out, it looks great on a resume. There are tons of benefits, and I've put that all on the value page and on the venture page of my website of the show. All of those resources and little tidbits are there.
I was really struck by one I mentioned on that site, a study indicating that folks that were involved in volunteerism as a way of life lived longer, happier. saner, lighter.
Yes, yes. The information's in. The totals are in. Yeah. Both. I have a Forbes article on there from Forbes and from Times Magazine on the value page, sort of, you know, building the architecture and the support for this message. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, I think everybody at this point knows that really it lowers your blood pressure. It allows you to gain social skills. You learn new skills that you didn't have before. Yeah. People do live happier. And I've experienced, I mean, that's what really got this idea started. As I was side by side with volunteers and seeing them, I thought these people are just happier. Mm. They're just amazed. They seem so fulfilled and they're giving of themselves. And I am reminded of a quote by Winston Churchill that says, "We make a living by what we get. We make a life by what we give." And it's very, very true. Very, very true, I think.
What did anything surprise you in gathering the interviews?
I'm surprised.
Or in working with the
Well,
subjects.
I thought that I knew. I thought here I was going to enlighten the world, you know. But and I hope to do that. I want to take this message everywhere. I'm still hoping to get a second and third and fourth and fifth venue for this. This is a traveling show. And mm-hmm. after this ends next week, we have one more week left of the show. And when it ends, I'm hoping, you know, that another venue will pick it up. But I was surprised that when I started gathering the information for the bios, I sent a questionnaire to all the volunteers. And after they answered all those questions, I then coupled it together and put these bios together for them. I was amazed. I mean, I thought I couldn't be inspired any more than I was, but I was inspired and I volunteer. And so I think, oh gosh, this has to inspire people who are still on the fence and still considering. But you have people that work full time as part of the show and they find time to do it. You mm-hmm. have people who have children, they have time to do it. People have limited resources, find different ways around on how to give. Mm-hmm. There's, you know, experience the show, go to the show. I just want to encourage people to go to the show, read the bios, and allow it to speak to you of where you are. Because wherever you are, that's the only, you know, I can give money and Kate can give money and George can give money maybe monetarily, but I can't give what George would give because only George can give of himself. Only Kate can give of herself. Only Nina can give of her. So you're the only person that can give of you. Do it. You won't regret it.
And so folks that are listening out there as well, please remember that the show has about a week to go, right?
Yes, at this time, next Monday, it'll be coming down.
And we don't want to see it stay down, so.
No, I'm hoping that a venue, so if you're a venue, if you own a venue or know of a venue, if you have any managing, you know, aspects of the venue, do contact the station. They'll put you in contact with me. I want to take this message into as many communities as possible, northwest, southeast, you name it. I think big, so I think New York, Chicago, there's no end, but I'm certainly open to anything, you know, nearby and locally as well.
I think it's an interesting moment, too, in our own, well, or maybe it's the United States, maybe it's the world. So much can seem so overwhelming these days and disempowering. What can I do? It's too much. I can't fix it. I don't know what to do. Something that struck me that ran through so many of the bios was how so many folks, in their own words, said, this is about me being able to do what I can do. This is about me being able to affect what I care about. This is about me being able to fix something that's broken or feel like that it matters that I'm here and that I'm doing this. And there's something so empowering about that, too. That moved me tremendously.
It's in the numbers, I think. I think that we all have these separate lives, and if you put our little lines of life on a map, you know, we all seem maybe to go in different directions. Volunteerism is that compass that sort of brings us humanity back to one place. I feel that's what it can do for us, and it is important. I have seasoned volunteers who have told me, if I focus on the grand picture, I may never even move into doing anything. But if I do just my little part, then I meet another volunteer who's doing something and another, and together we're making a difference.
Exactly.
We do like to ask our guests who are very successful and have created a new creation, what is next? Are there more volunteers? Are there more paintings? Or are you taking volunteerism in a different down a different path?
As well as keeping this show alive.
Yes.
Yeah. I am actually being very open because I think that in being open, just like I am open with medium and using different mediums, I think being open is the best thing that I could do. So I would like to see how it grows on its own, supporting it. Because if you stay with your own idea and your own little tunnel vision, it can't be bigger than you. Mm. But I want it to be bigger. I want it to be what it was born to become. I want it to become. So I'm open to it traveling and going to different places, and maybe a venue has a different idea that like to add to it. I've certainly have already considered adding more volunteers to it,
Good.
You know, and maybe that'll happen in the future. We'll see. But I'm very open as to what it might become.
it will certainly become a family of volunteers. Mm-hmm. That's good.
And we want to applaud Steele Sacks and ArtsQuest for supporting and sharing the show with the community in a nonprofit and accessible way. Mm-hmm. And it's wonderful when it can be, not that there's anything wrong with a fabulous exhibit, but when it can be more, when it can be community shaking like this.
Yes. None of the works are for sale because it's really about the the mission. You know, I say it's the process of giving of ourselves that we actually become. And that's how I see it.
Thank you, Nina, for your passion and your artistry. And special thanks, too, to Steve Aronson, our technical engineer, who has a habit of getting more wood stain on his trousers than he does on his woodwork. But surely he knows how to paint a beautiful sound on the audio board. Thanks, Uncle Stevie.
You're welcome. I always fail.
Did you?
Yeah.
Okay. Again, thank you, Nina.
Thank you.
Next up on Lehigh Valley Art Salon, At the Movies, a review of a current film with Paul Willistein of the Press.
Director Stephen Frears is enamored of the themes of royalty, the British upper class, minorities, and societal disruption. Victoria and Abdul, directed by Stephen Frears, is based on a true story of the friendship between Queen Victoria and a man from India who became her confidant. Victoria and Abdul has elements of The Queen, in which Frears directed Helen Mirren to an actress Oscar, and also elements of one of the first feature films Stephen Frears directed, My Beautiful Laundrette, about a Pakistani Brit opening up a laundromat. There's also a bit of Dangerous Liaisons, which Frears directed. The opening title card for Victoria and Abdul tells us that it's, quote, based on real events, mostly, unquote. In the screenplay by Lee Hall, who was a nominee for the screenplay for Billy Elliot for an Oscar, it's based on the book Victoria and Abdul by Shirabani Basu. Queen Victoria, played by Judi Dench, strikes up an unlikely friendship with Abdul Karim, played by Ali Fazal, a young clerk from India. Queen Victoria befriends Karim, who becomes her munchie, her attendant. He teaches her Urdu and the Quran. Karim is despised by the Queen's court. Victoria and Abdul achieves cinematic emotion in the final scenes between the title characters. Up until the final third of the film's a disappointing parade of stereotypes of British royalty and also those of persons from India. The cartoonish dialogue, cliched editing, and clunky pacing undermine the admittedly fascinating story about an unlikely friendship. Archival photos and title cards at the film's conclusion effectively tell a story in minutes that eludes the nearly two-hour film. Victoria and Abdul is of chief interest for fans of Dame Judi Dench, who received 7 Oscar nominations and received an Oscar as supporting actress in Shakespeare in Love. Dench's flawless performance embodies Queen Victoria. Ali Fazal is fine as Karim, the British court attendant from India, but he's given little to do in a role written in a way that lacks depth and dimension. There's a solid slate of supporting characters: Tim Bigot-Smith, Eddie Izzard, Michael Gambon, Simon Callow, and Olivia Williams. The cinematography, interior settings, costume design, and score are top-notch. Unfortunately, Victoria and Abdul doesn't get much beyond the look of the film. Victoria and Abdul is MPAA rated PG-13 for some thematic elements and language. Opening October 27 are Suburbicon. George Clooney directs Matt Damon, Julianne Moore, Oscar Isaac, and Jack Connelly in the comedy thriller. Residents of a small town are upset by a home invasion. Jigsaw. Michael Spierig and Peter Spierig co-direct, Matt Passmore, Tobin Bell, Calum Keith Rennie, and Hannah Emily Anderson in the horror film. An investigation leads to John Kramer, a.k.a. Jigsaw, who has been dead for 10 years. I'm Paul Willistein of the Lehigh Valley Press at the movies for WDIY.
This is WDIY Allentown, 88.1 FM and WDIY.org, serving the Lehigh Valley. We are the Lehigh Valley's community NPR station and your source for NPR news, public affairs, and a great mix of handpicked music. The time is 6:30, and it's time to take charge of your life.